Hello, welcome to the Monday, July 20th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. Now, a while ago, Microsoft did release a new version of SysInternals, the set of tools that allow you to explore your system better with VirusTotal support. So this was the big new feature here, that now you can take binaries and such that these different tools discover and check with VirusTotal if these binaries are known malicious code. Didier took two of these tools and wrote up a little diary entries for each one of them, showing you how to use this VirusTotal integration. The first tool was Process Explorer. Of course, with Process Explorer, you can essentially find out what is running in your system and then submit hashes of whatever is running to VirusTotal. The second tool is AutoRuns. AutoRuns will show all of the different software that start automatically whenever you reboot the system. So either tool integrates VirusTotal, allows you to send hashes. I believe it just sends the hash of the software. It does not send the actual executable to VirusTotal. Also, of course, you do need direct internet access in order to use these tools. Quite often, if you do forensics, you don't necessarily want to do this. We did have a user comment about how to enable proxies with these tools. You have to use NetShell to set your proxy settings. So if you do have a system that only has internet access through a designated proxy, then you can use that proxy to access VirusTotal. And over the last few weeks, many Skype users are reporting that they are receiving messages from their friends that are apparently, well, not actually sent by their friends. What's not clear at this point is whether these accounts were compromised, for example, via phishing or just the password guessing, or if, on the other hand, it is possible due to a security vulnerability within Skype to send messages on another user's behalf. Many Skype users believe that the second part is the case, but then again, at this point, there is neither proof that this was a hack of the system or a hack of individual users. On the same note, I also just earlier received a message from a Facebook friend that probably was due to that account getting compromised. So with social media, with instant messengers, always be a little bit careful and assume that a message does not necessarily come from the person that it claims to come from. So far, Microsoft just recommends that Skype users should change their passwords. Probably not a bad idea to do that occasionally, but overall, they don't really shed a lot of light into what exactly is going on here. And as NoSQL databases like MongoDB are becoming more popular, they also have become a more popular security problem. Now, Shodan, the database that does enumerate various servers listening on the public internet, did always catalog MongoDB, and there were about 30,000 different instances that you could find listed in Shodan. Now, as a blog post in Shodan reports that this number was a little bit odd because by default MongoDB is only listening on loopback. Well, however, it turns out that wasn't always the case. Earlier versions, as recent as 2 years ago, did still listen on all IP addresses, so they would essentially expose the database to everybody who would like to connect. Overall, Shodan believes that these databases contain almost 600 terabytes of data altogether. Not clear how much of the data is public or how much of it is supposed to be protected. But then again, with MongoDB, once you can connect, you usually can then also just download the content. And if you're tempted to try the North Korean Linux version Red Star OS, be careful. Apparently, it does watermark all files it gets into contact with. In an experiment, a researcher was just copying a Word document over to a Red Star OS system and found that a little extra watermark was added to the file. So with that, it could, for example, be able to trace down that file to a particular install. It's not clear at this point what the exact content is of this watermark. And if you're still allowing keyboard interactive authentication for your OpenSSH server, one more reason to turn it off. Apparently, it is possible to exceed the limit in the number of passwords that you are allowed to attempt. The trick is to just do it fast enough, essentially set up many connections and then simultaneously try the different passwords before the first one really returns the bad result. With this, you're only limited by the login grace time, which is usually a couple of minutes. There is a sort of proof of concept script out there, just a little shell script really, that does attempt 10,000 password entries. Well, that's it for today. So thanks for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.